Welcome into Barncast Live. It's Kyle Rush. It's Daryl Daprich. And this is the Big Cat Weekend recap version where Auburn had its big, well, I say big, their typically big recruiting fireworks and extravaganza. This is typically known as your big time to make a big hit with a lot of guys. That went down this weekend. Auburn did pick up a commit. Auburn did make a lot of progress with several, you could call them top prospects. But Daryl, just to kind of tell everybody and kind of recap everybody, this used to be at the end of the summer. This was like the last big hoorah, you know, and when they shut down Big Cat Weekend and visits in July, Big Cat Weekend has really, it's been really tough to find a home for it. And the visits from the top end, particularly from the 2027 class, from the top end guys were down this year. But you know what? The official visits, the next couple of weeks are just slam-packed with them. So overall, I just want to get your thoughts on Big Cat Weekend, maybe just as an institution. Like, is it just – did July kind of – moving it out of July kill it, or is there some other factors in play? Just want to get your thoughts on Big Cat Weekend as an institution as a whole, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Like anything else in college football, it's evolved. And I think there's numerous reasons as to why it's different and might not be as effective. First of all, you mentioned it, the July factor. Remember, it was either wrapped around right before or right after SEC Media Days. And there's a ton of buzz about football in the season. What do they say, Kyle? They say that kind of, unofficially kicks off the football season.
Yeah.
So, that's the first thing. Second thing, I'm just going to speak real here, and I know you'll vouch for me on this. This staff doesn't pay people to visit. They don't.
Right.
And the last staff, because of that suck tax we talked about, a lot of times there would be an incredible list of visitors, guys that I was just like over the moon that they were on campus. But I always tempered my enthusiasm when all these outlets would be like, oh, this guy's coming, this guy's coming. I'm like, so if he's just there to make an appearance, have a visit, get wined and dined and get paid, do I really think he loves Auburn, wants to come to Auburn, is even considering Auburn seriously? This particular big cat and these particular group of visitors, I think, are serious about Auburn. And I think that they are, it's not just about getting paid to be there. And yeah. I think that's the difference. I think that's why it evolved. And then the third thing is something I mentioned with Zach that's an underrated fact. I get moving it out of July, but at least there was a pretty important sporting event on campus this weekend while it was going on. I mean, I think that there's an advantage to bring high school football players to that atmosphere at Plainsman Park Saturday and go, look at the support baseball gets. Now imagine that with football. So having that in May kind of helps from that aspect.
Yeah. So I guess that was going to lead me to my second question. So last year's, remember, they had it in April. Like they had it at the beginning of April, and it wasn't like it was super, stellar as far as like just this, knockdown, drag out, the who's who list of guys on campus. I think your commitment was Parker Pritchett. We love Parker Pritchett. But again, that's another guy that's a lower ranked guy. And you kind of look at your commitment this time, which we'll talk about, in just a little bit. Very similar type player, I guess, from a different position. But as far as recruitment goes, probably a little similar. So you got April, the beginning of April. Now you've had middle of May. Is there really a good time for it? Like what is the right time for it? Because really, right now, you're honestly in closing season. Like you're getting in the closing season when it's it's June for official visits, and they're talking like the final deals and stuff like that. And then June and July, you're wrapping things up. Is there is there a good time for it anymore?
Well, you can't have it from August on, because these high schoolers are getting ready for their season. So that's an absolute you know, that's not a possibility. Having it in April didn't seem to really go over that well. If you could wrap it around a spring game, maybe it could be effective. If you could do that during the week of A-Day.
No, I like that idea.
Yeah, and bring all these kids on the sideline during A-Day and let them go through Tiger Walk during A-Day and experience all that. That might be, you know, but is that too much? I mean, A-Day in the spring game, trying to pull that off as coaches and then having to do a Big Cat weekend as well, that's a lot. And, you know, but you've got to try something. I think that, like I said, everything else in college football has evolved. And it is different than it was even 5 years ago. And this is another thing that just, unfortunately, Kyle, may go by the wayside if they can't find an effective. If you're only getting, you've got to have a payoff. There's got to be some sort of return on investment. So if you do all this and you only average one commit per Big Cat weekend for 3 or 4 years, it's, now, you might be laying the foundation. Come back in for their official visits. And you know, we'll talk about an offensive lineman that's been Fong bombed to Auburn, too. And I would have thought he had popped. He was my prediction. I thought Auburn was going to get one commitment, and I thought it was going to be him.
Yeah.
We'll talk about him later, but he's still probably going to commit very soon. So I don't know. Maybe you're just laying the work, you know, you're laying the foundation for later on.
Yeah, and that may be the case. And I got another theory for what you could see Big Cat Weekend become that we'll talk about in just a second. But let's talk about some of the visitors and where I'm coming up with this. I know some people are like, well, what are you even talking about? Like, I felt like we had a bunch of guys on campus. We did. Like, there were some great players on campus, and Auburn made some headway with several. I mean, you had – Guys like Nash Johnson say Auburn's, you know, my number one. You talked about Rance Brown, had him get a Fong bomb, a prediction from Steve Wiltfong, you know, to commit to Auburn. Yeah, the commitment from Kareem Palmer. All those are great. They're a little bit on the lower end of the recruiting rankings. But just from your top end guys, you didn't have one guy inside the top 100 visit this weekend from the 2027 class. Now, had some great players like Jaden Aparicio Bailey, who I think Auburn is, you know, feels like that one is one that's like Auburn's to lose from Prattville. Carlos May, you had some Jeremiah Culpepper.
Did the receiver end up coming from Nevada? Damani?
He's on the list.
He was on the list. Me and Zach talked about him. I'm really high on him. I'm just wondering if he showed. That's a long way to come from Nevada,
for sure. I'll confirm that as we keep going. But the bottom line is, there was still some work that was done in the 2027 class. Still made some waves. It just wasn't, you know, those, you know, we didn't get the Perry Thompson flipping in the pool. We didn't get the five-star DeMarcus Riddick flipping like the Thursday before. Like, you didn't get those things, but I still think there was some good work done. It's just, you know, what does Big Cat look like moving forward? And I think they got to figure that out. Or that I think they might say, hey, Big Cat may just become a 2028 thing. Big Cat may just become recruiting may be so far like moving backwards that it's more of a 2028 thing, because the 2028 list was awesome. Like, you had multiple top 100 guys. You had three or four top 10 guys on campus. Could it be that like the recruiting calendar now is so out of whack and everything's moving tighter and tighter or moving up, then maybe this just becomes a big junior day, like almost like a big junior day moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that's a definite possibility. I also think there's a possibility we might be overvaluing Big Cat Weekend because it's not what it used to be when Chiz and
it may just True not be a thing, thing anymore.
I hate to sound skeptical and hate to sound like a cynic, but we talked about all those great moments where I felt like Auburn football was – turn the corner with the commitment of a Perry Thompson flipping in the pool and Riddick and all that. Where did all that get Auburn? Where did it get us? Right? I mean, I know you have to have these recruits. It's important. But all that hype, all that hoopla, and they still had three losing seasons in a row with that those particular groups. So maybe this class, maybe this group, maybe this staff has a different way of doing it. And they are looking two classes ahead. They are looking in the fact that the portal makes up for a lot of sins. They are looking at the official visits being the thing that you can hang your hat on, and then seeing how all that fleshes out.
Yeah, your boy Damani Warren, he did make it in.
Good.
He did make it in, so that's good. Reverend Barn Booster says, with it being in May, Alex Golish can build future classes with more precision, but he's got to hold the class longer now. I don't 100% believe guys are committed until they play. Winning is more critical now. That's true. All that's true. And, like, you could be committed and signed, and you still could go somewhere else until you actually move in and enroll on campus.
True. And that's, you know, that's really important to think about. We talked for 3 years. How is Auburn? I saw it too. How is Auburn getting these recruiting classes without proof of concept on the field? And at one point that window was going to close, and it closed. And so now you've got to start winning.
I'm sorry for those that might have been offended by that one that pulled up. Drunk Aubie's cousin, I'm going to paraphrase. He says that next 4 or 5-star commit is going to hit really hard. Like, yep, it's going to slap. Yeah, we have reeled off a couple of 3-stars. Let's talk about them really quick. Let's talk about Kareem. You got your Big Cat Weekend commit from this weekend. Kind of a surprise, to be honest. Didn't know a ton about this guy, but hey, got notice. Hey, you want to be on the lookout. You know, Kareem Palmer's gonna pop. A Toombs County linebacker from Lyons, Georgia, 6'2", 210. He actually committed today. So he didn't commit on Saturday, but he committed this morning. Big surprise, and as you start to look at him a little bit deeper, and I'm going to talk about him a lot tomorrow morning, so I don't want to just go way too deep off into it, but offer list is incredibly impressive.
I have completely flipped. You know, I was one of those guys that back in the day used to buy Jeff Whitaker's recruiting guide.
Yeah.
And Athlon's recruiting guide, and it would have all the players and how I go that far back to farm recruiting, the 90s, early 90s. And I used to be so enamored with stars. I have completely flipped and pay attention more to offer lists than I do stars for two reasons. Number one, if Kirby Smart wants a kid on the defensive side of the ball and he picks Auburn, that gets my attention. If DJ Durkin says that he saw Palmer play live and was very, very high on him and kind of handpicked him for this class and wants him, that gets my attention.
Yep.
Offer lists to me matter more than stars, because offer lists are born from coaches. Stars are born from analysts. Who do you trust more?
Exactly. And a lot of times what you'll see is the stars will lag behind the offers. So, like, this could be a guy that now he's on the national radar a little bit more, and who knows? Like, we saw that with Bryce Diaz. Like, he committed to Auburn, and then within, like, what, 2 weeks, he had a 4th star for Rivals.
It's going to happen to Chapman, in my opinion. I think as Chapman's offer list grows, it used to be a bunch of group of 5 schools. Now Auburn, West Virginia, Iowa State. If a Georgia or somebody else from the SEC offers, he'll get that 4th star.
Sure. Sure.
If Alabama offers, he'll get a 5-star. He'll be a 5-star.
he might get a 6-star.
Oh man, he'll be like, yeah.
And if the talk about Kareem's 40 time being legit around 4.38, it's hard to imagine that guy doesn't get a 4-star eventually when you start camping in the summer and doing all the marketing tour that a lot of these guys do. And then Rance Brown, we talked about him briefly, but obviously he gets the prediction, another offensive tackle from Brentwood Academy. I feel like Auburn's gotten some dudes from Brentwood.
Yeah, they have.
So I had some luck there.
Kids from Southside Selma originally, and I think that's where Auburn had a huge in with him. He's from Southside Selma, grew up an Auburn fan, just transferred to Brentwood this year. That's where I think they had a front foot on schools like Tennessee and Kentucky, who really wants him bad. And so, yeah, again, three-star, but he's an offensive tackle. Those are the hardest to gauge, because I really look at any offensive tackle as 2 years away from playing. It's rare that a freshman comes in and plays like a Connor Lue. You know, of course, the center is a different animal because it's such a specialized position. But a tackle, see, I was really, really high, Kyle, on DeAndre Carter. I remember predicting 2 years ago that he would start by the time he was a sophomore. He just never did, and he ended up transferring out. But I loved him. I loved the program he was from, Modern Day High School in California. But that's an example of a kid that was a high four-star, almost a five-star, and couldn't crack the lineup over a bunch of three-stars.
Yeah.
So offensive line recruiting, I look more than anything at offer list than I do. Again, a Kirby Smart offers an offensive tackle. A Tennessee offers an offensive tackle. Alabama, then you've got my attention more than if they're a three-star or not.
Yep. I think another thing, and again, this is kind of back on the, you know, reasons why the Big Cat Weekend may not have had as much luster. You didn't have two of your biggest commits there. So you didn't have Mycen Johnson-Cook, who I guess had a family deal, and then Donovan Moore, who had a spring game. So, like, you got spring games going on right now. So, like, that's another whole obstacle that is in the way. And one of the reasons I'm not super worried about it is because I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you look at the upcoming official visit weekends, they're loaded. They're absolutely slammed with all of these guys that you say you want there, you know, the top 100 guys that you want there on visits. They're coming. They're not coming for Big Cat. They're going to come for the official visit weekends, like Joshua Dobson, who, you know, he's one of the top players in the country, who's coming next week. Several top 150, top 100 guys that'll be here over the next month or so as official visit season winds down. You only have till, I guess we only have a month left. So it's like the third weekend in June, I think, is it. And then it starts that dead period
right
from June throughout July. So yeah, I get where people are coming from when they start talking about the, you know, oh, three-star you, or, oh, we can't get the big-time visitors here for Big Cat Weekend. Like, I get that, and maybe there's validity to that for Big Cat Weekend, but it's not for getting them to Auburn. So, like, I don't think this weekend is really indicative of really anything. I think it's more so all of the things we talked about. Big Cat Weekend just, hey, it's had a good run. Yeah. It's what, 26, 2010 was the first one, 2009? Yeah,
it's played out. It's evolved. It's so different now with college football and how you get kids to play for you. And from a recruiting standpoint and – a transfer portal thing. And again, I keep going back to, you had an opportunity to use money to pay kids for visits or whatever was going on. You know, schools do it. I don't know. It's just, you can't, it's just different now. And this staff does it differently. And I will be concerned if Auburn's ranked 45th, 46th in recruiting in November. Right now in May, I'm not even concerned about it one bit, because I think they're just building momentum.
There you go. Do you remember the very first Big Cat Weekend?
I do.
And remember, now that you think about it, like, it was kind of a waste of time if you really think about it. Like, why would we have the three top running backs in the country on campus at the exact same time?
And they almost all came. I mean, I remember thinking how are we going to get Lattimore – Sistrunk, right? That was Blake, the other Lachey Sistrunk. And then Dyer. And we got Dyer.
I truly believe Sistrunk was going to be the best one out of all those.
I did too.
His high school film was incredible. And then he ended up not being anywhere near the caliber of guys both of those dudes were and could have been. But yeah, like that's kind of goes along with what we're talking about. Like, is it really necessary to bring in all these guys anymore that more than likely you're not going to get. I know historically you closed somewhere between 20 and 30% of the guys that came, but with you've been mentioning it, resources, sort of every dollar matters. Does it make sense anymore? Does it make sense anymore to just have 50 guys in and you know, right off the bat, at least 40 of them, 35 of them probably are not going to end up in the class.
Well, and you also got to be careful what's happened with some times that we were recruiting against Alabama head to head when Reese Dismukes went after somebody. It may have been Reese Dismukes. Yeah. I mean, and recruiting for the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have that many people on campus on a big cat, there's that possibility if you've got kids that are committed to another school that they're wanting to try to, you know, sway people. And so you got to be careful. Again, there's so much more of a margin of error. And the old way didn't work for the last couple of years. Yeah, Auburn got good players on paper and names and stars. But for whatever reason, it never meshed. It never gelled. It never turned into proof of concept on the field. Let's see if the group of kids, whether they were top 100 or not, that came to this Big Cat weekend because they really, really wanted to be here and are probably serious about Auburn in their list. Let's see, like a Nash Johnson who says, oh, they've shot up to the top. Let's see how that plays out and what that means and how they contribute. And again, part two of that is when these official visits happen and they start popping off two a weekend, these kids commit like that on a Sunday at 8:30 after we get off the, you know, after we get done doing the show. Because remember, that happened all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, and Auburn's been on a pretty much a commit per week base, like, so far. Like, it's been basically just a commit per weekend. And I just think that's going to continue to go.
Here's something that's very important to think about, Kyle. I said in April to Zach that I thought we were going to pick up four or five commits in May. We did. Brian Smith is absolutely convinced that June's going to be Auburn's biggest month.
I think June's going to be a big month for everybody, but I agree with him for sure.
So if you think about getting four or five in May, if you double that in June,
that puts you almost – I mean, if they're expecting this class to not be more than 15 or 16 commits, like, you're almost done.
Yep.
If you think about it.
It's about who's in that six, seven, eight more that's important.
Yep. Still some big guys out there. They're looking to close, and several of them will be here over the next month or so. So we'll see what happens. Switch gears really quick. Let's wind it up talking about baseball.
Yes.
Auburn wins one big game against Georgia. And, hey, technically in my mind, we won the series.
Hey, I'm a soccer guy. It was aggregate.
It's aggregate.
Aggregate. Let's go. We
outscored them by 8 runs.
Exactly. That tells you everything you need to know. Here's the thing about Auburn. You know, you look at people could talk about – we can talk about RPI. We talk about strength of schedule. But when they lose games typically in series like this, I mean, they were one run games, but when they finally get that W, they take your manhood. I mean, they go BTA and it's an explosion. It's an outburst. And I think recency bias is a thing. And Auburn winning that game on Saturday and run ruling Georgia, in my opinion, solidified, locked down, national host over.
I sure hope you're right. And I tend to lean that way as well, unless they buck against history and statistics and RPI and all that kind of stuff. I want to talk quickly about the SEC baseball tournament. Number one, sure. Does the SEC baseball tournament do anything for you?
Nope. It doesn't do anything for your seeding, but it does. Like, LSU has to win it to get in.
What about you?
Oh, I have not been invested in it, and I think the reason why is because Auburn hasn't fared well in it. I'm one of those guys that unless it means something for me and to me because of who I'm invested in, I could give two. I'm tired of Auburn going out early in this tournament. I would like to see them make a deep run and maybe capture an SEC title. It'd be nice, but I think that's probably why it doesn't really hold my interest is because, number one, Auburn's gone out early the last two times it's went to the College World Series.
Yeah.
First time they lost to LSU in a horrible play at the plate, the catcher. And then the other time I think they won one game and then lost. So it has no bearing on where you go. So for me, I used to love it. And I used to like really get into it and go up to Hoover and watch it. But as Auburn has not fared well in it, I've lost interest. It doesn't mean crap to me.
So Auburn would play the winner of Oklahoma and LSU, it looks like, on Wednesday. And then, you know, you just kind of go from there. Then you'd play that. If you won that game, you'd play Texas A&M, which Auburn obviously won that series against Texas A&M. But, I mean, what's crazy to me is this game ends on Sunday. I mean, this thing ends on Sunday, and then, like, don't you turn around on Friday and start the regionals? Like, yes. Pretty quick?
Yeah, and it's like the same thing with the SEC basketball tournament. Kyle, I wish they would find a way to end this crap on Saturday.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going into committees. And now, Auburn, there were a couple times where it was like nail-biting time whether they were going to host. If you've got it pretty much wrapped up, which I think they do, it doesn't matter. But there are some times that could matter, and you finish this thing on a Sunday. I'd much rather have all this wrapped up on Saturday. That's why I like them moving a lot of these three-game series to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I know it bucks the tradition of a Sunday starter and all that good stuff, the college baseball I grew up on. But that extra day is important. It really is, especially when you're trying to develop a pitching staff and work out all, but that's where I think Auburn has a really big advantage.
Exactly. And that's almost why I'm like, okay if they like maybe just win your first game and then go to the house, because Auburn with fresh pitching that's their biggest weapon. I feel like
you can throw Jackson Sanders as a starter too, not a bullpen game. I'm talking about a legitimate starter. If you had to in an if game or an elimination game, Cormier did such a good job the other night in that 9-7 loss where he saved the bullpen, and thankfully Auburn didn't need him because they run rule Georgia, but that's some fresh pitching. He saved a lot of guys that are now coming into the SEC tournament on 6, 7, 8 days rest. That's big. That is big.
Yeah.
Auburn set up from a postseason standpoint better than most, and we'll see how that translates.
For sure, for sure. But it starts this week, this coming up week. You got a lot of Auburn postseason flavor. You got this. You got the SEC tournament. You got the men's golf regional starts tomorrow too. So they
is there something going on with tennis too, right? Didn't tennis?
Tennis, as well. So you start golf starts their march to the national title. A lot of fun stuff. Auburn spring sports are actually faring.
Well, they had to be. They had to be because it was a rough fall and winter. It was a winter of our discontent for those that are the literary things on here. And I agree with a lot of people that were starting to get a little frustrated with Auburn not having a win and a revenue-sharing sport against Alabama or Georgia. Enough's enough. That crap's got to stop.
Yep.
And they did it with him in an emphatic way Saturday.
Yep, absolutely. Dap, appreciate you, man. Guys, thank y'all for being here. Thank you for being in the chat. Y'all have a great week. We got a lot of Auburn stuff to talk about, so make sure you're subscribed to the Barn Auburn YouTube page so you're ready for all the content that we drop throughout the week. Guys, we're out of here. Have a great rest of your week.